Captain's log, stardate 43807.4. After the successful trial episode depicted in Measure of a Man, the Apocalypse Video Trekcast is now into Season 3 of Star Trek The Next Generation, the season which many consider the peak of Captain Picard and company's adventures on television. And while I'm confident that my crew will enjoy the mid-series classics contained herein, I am slightly worried that the perverted exploits of Lieutenant Reginald Barclay may cast a shadow on our intrepid heroes, as well as shine a light on my own, shall we say, questionable activities in the holodeck.
In the not-too-distant future, four movie fans awaken from a nuclear nightmare, only to discover that the world is a barren, movieless wasteland. However, the destiny of our four heroes is not set. A chance discovery in Sector 2, and an unfortunate accident that rips the very soul from one of their own, will lead them down the path of bringing the lost art of cinema back to the wasteland.
Welcome to Apocalypse Video.
Next time on Star Trek The Next Generation, a serious accident releases highly toxic chemicals.
Begin evacuation of secondary hull.
And contamination ignites a chain reaction that's tearing up the Enterprise.
Controls are not responding, sir.
Now the crew faces destruction at breakneck speed.
We can't shut it down, Captain. She's accelerating out of control.
On the next exciting episode of Star Trek The Next Generation.
Hello, welcome back to another episode of the Apocalypse Video Trekcast. I'm your host and captain, David. I'm joined again by Trek fans, Jackie.
Greetings. I don't know what that was.
And Lieutenant Mike.
I am the goddess of empathy.
Our first holodeck episode, guys. I mean, this isn't our first exposure to the holodeck. We technically saw the holodeck in action in season one, episode one of Encounter Farpoint. But this is our first holocentric episode. And really, really, it's funny, too, because, like, looking in the show history, this is not, like, the first holodeck-centric episode by a long shot. Like, I think right off the bat, they knew this holodeck idea, you know, is ripe for story points.
They knew it had legs.
But at some point, and I think and it's revealed in season one, that the holodeck, it seems like invariably, when you think about the holodeck, the discussion turns to sex.
Yeah. Who can it quickly I turns fuck to sex. In this holographic deck?
And it's honestly surprising that it took them three seasons to get to an episode that dealt specifically with this point of the holodeck, sex in the holodeck. This episode's interesting because it tackles a lot of things, not just the holodeck and like being a perv in the holodeck, but also like if you put that aside, it also deals with like. And this is something I like that Next Generation does from time to time, is when they peer into the lives of the non-bridge crew, like the lower level people. And I think this is a fun episode because I just love episodes like that where we get to see, you know, the other people on the Enterprise that you never see.
We also learn more about just so far from our watch through of this series. I think we're focusing more on the ship itself than the original series ever did. Like the original series, there was the Enterprise, and you know, it was a set.
What is that Kirk quote that's like, "The Enterprise is a beautiful lady, and we love her."
I feel like this show is really getting a lot into like the nitty gritty of like what is on the ship and how does the ship work and that kind of stuff, which this episode gets into.
this, yeah, and another thing that I like that it does, you know, because Star Trek is always about, I think what Star Trek's at its best is when it's tackling issues and stuff like that and putting it in, like, this sci-fi context. But the issues of, like, anxiety and stuff like that I like how, you know, I think that those things in this episode dealing with anxiety, I like that they touch on them. I think they're a bit overshadowed by the fact that the character that is chosen to portray these traits is just a complete perv. So that's a little unfortunate, because I think that there's stuff that this episode tries to do that I think is valuable and important.
People especially with anxiety aren't all Barclays.
Well,
exactly. Yeah. So that little that message, I feel, at least as I'm watching this and I'm seeing Barclay perv out, which we'll get into, it's a little bit overshadowed. It's a little unfortunate that those messages kind of get lost a little, at least for me, but just because of the perviness. But I like that it touches on those things. It's interesting. It also shows other facets of our main characters dealing with a character that has, like, anxiety, because up to this point, you know, pretty much for the most part, our main characters are almost flawless and, you know, and never buckle under pressure, and they're the best. And then you got this guy Barclay, he's just like
yeah, you know. I really liked that side of it, like, especially with like, we see Geordi as, like, you know, having to kind of deal with and learn new ways to, like, manage people, and
because he's not used to this.
Yeah, we get to see, I like that side of Geordi where it's like he's annoyed. He's like, how do
I can't be in the same room with this guy.
Deal with this fucking guy. And on the anxiety thing specifically, I think the best the episode does with that is his conversation with Guinan, where she's like, "Well, some people have anxiety, Geordi." And then you feel that glimpse of sympathy for Broccoli, and then it goes straight back into the perv stuff. But you're right, like, there's a seed in this episode where you're like, oh, I see what you're doing. But I wish some things were different about this episode.
Well, so this was your pick for the holodeck episode. We mentioned that we wanted to get into a holodeck episode on the last one. So this was your pick. Why don't you explain for anyone who doesn't know, who hasn't seen this episode, the synopsis of Hollow Pursuits.
Hollow Pursuits. Yeah. So we open on Intent Forward with some guy who we've never seen before. And it's this, like, this tense scene of Lieutenant Barclay, who I will only refer to as Broccoli because I don't respect that man. And he's in a scene where he gets into a brawl with Riker and Geordi, and then Troy is there looking at him lustily, and it's revealed that he's in the holodeck. He's living out a little power fantasy.
A little incel fantasy.
Okay, we're going to get into it, because this guy's a fucking incel. Yeah, he has the most predictable fucking power fantasies where he wants to...
What's the
beat
first,
up his boss.
He wants
what's,
to, yeah,
what's the
violently...
first... Because I feel like we spend most of our time in this, like, Three Musketeers land, but it doesn't open on that, does
no,
it?
No, it opens in the, like, you know, realistic setting of he is at, like... He's in a room at work, like, talking to the bartender about, like, I'm a troublemaker. And then, yeah, in his fantasy...
Yeah, Guinan's like, I don't want any trouble, Barclay.
Trouble? Why would there be trouble?
Because wherever you go, trouble follows.
Lieutenant Barclay, you're on duty.
Is that a fact?
It is, and you'll observe it. So get back to your post.
Look, pal... Why don't you do me a favor? Take yourself and your holier-than-thou attitude and get out of my life.
He violently overpowers his male colleagues and sexually overpowers his female colleagues because... Of course. So it's revealed he's in the holodeck, and when he leaves it, he's this very nervous, like, stuttering... a guy who is always late and he's not very good at his job, and, you know, Geordi, his boss, is not pleased with this, where he shows, you know, Broccoli shows up late. Geordi's talking to Riker about, like, what do I do with this guy? He is, I don't know why he's like this, and he sucks. And this just the episode kind of goes back and forth between Broccoli's fantasy, Broccoli in real life, and then the people around him, like, being reacting to him. And so we go from there. And there's also the underlying plot of, oh, something's malfunctioning on board the ship. And so we see more management, I guess, styles where Geordi and Riker are talking to Picard about, like, can we just fucking transfer this guy because he sucks? We don't like him. He is not a good worker. And Picard, the, you know, level-headed captain, gives
always,
you know,
the diplomat.
Always the diplomat gives, you know, Geordi the advice, like, just try to, you know, see it from his level. You need to become his best friend. And just kind of try to take a little easy. And I actually really liked that turn from Geordi where he's like, well, I don't like this guy, but gosh darn it, I will make him my project.
That's kind of funny. He's like, I got to make this guy my project.
Yeah. Which, and so I think after that we go to a different, Broccoli fantasy, or no, we go from there to Geordi's trying real hard. Like, he's got like camp counselor vibes where he's like, hey, yeah, Barclay, could you do this for me? And why don't you come to the briefing tomorrow? That'd be real good. And I believe in you.
Which is typical, like, you fail me? Upwards. Failing upwards, very typical.
Yeah. And then at the engineering briefing where they're talking about and what is causing this malfunction of X, Y, and Z for the blah, blah, blah. Barclay's stuttering through something. He's
right on the cusp of explaining what he wants.
Yeah.
He's trying to,
like,
get across.
He's almost saying it. But then, of course, that bratty little Wesley Crusher is not even being a dick. He's just like, oh, what if it's this? And he's just kind of like shutting down some stuff, but not really on purpose. But so then, of course, Broccoli takes that and turns it into, like, we go to the creepy Three Musketeers fantasy holodeck scene where Beverly Crusher is like some corseted maiden stroking Broccoli's head, and Wesley is a little Lord Fauntleroy
eating like an entire pie,
eating an entire pie with his hands. And I keep calling Barclay Broccoli. It's revealed, I think, in the first Geordi and Riker scene that Wesley came up with Broccoli as a nickname for
such a Wesley
Barclay.
Nickname.
Yeah, it's literally like a mean nickname from a child, and then all the adults are like, you know, this Broccoli guy.
Well, I hate to say it, but I always thought I could work with anybody. But I just don't understand this guy. Broccoli makes me nervous, Captain. He makes everybody nervous.
Broccoli. Young Mr. Crusher started that. I guess it's caught on. Let's just get that uncorked, shall we?
Well, it's so great because Picard immediately tries to, like, end this when they're telling him, you know, like, Captain, yeah, I can't stand this guy. We need to transfer him. And they call him Broccoli. And I love how he's Riker's like, I'm sorry, I guess it just caught on. And Picard's like, well, let's get that uncut.
Let's get that cut, uncut.
Cut to, thank you, Mr. Broccoli. Broccoli.
Oh, Picard calling him Broccoli to his face is so painful.
Oh, God, I fucked up, didn't I?
It's so good.
Good. I look forward to your report, Mr. Broccoli. Barclay. If you will excuse me.
But yeah, so we go to the back to Broccoli's Musketeer's fantasy where he's dueling who is it? Like Picard, Geordi, and Data. You know, that other Chad at work, Data.
Know-it-all android.
That know-it-all android. But we keep going back to the bridge crew talking about, like, what do we do with this guy? He's kind of weird. He's kind of annoying. And we also have Oh, the most upsetting stuff about all of this is the fantasy where Broccoli is, this is right after Wesley, you know, says something that catches him off guard or something, and he's all tripped up about that, where we have what is revealed to be another holodeck fantasy with Troy, but it starts out with the setup that Broccoli is visiting Troy as a counselor, which is her job, that then turns into her, like, tell me what you need. It's like sex fantasy shit, which sucks. if there is literally a person on board whose job it is to help you with your emotional state, and you're using them as a jerk off fantasy in the role of ship's counselor, like, that sucks.
Well, that brings us to a first big point about this episode. The fact that Barkley
they need to fire him.
They are right to want to transfer this. Well, it's permanent.
Yeah, I mean, it gets to the point of just like the idea of making hollow versions of people that you work with for sex fantasies. Like, this gets into like one of the big overall things that I think gets discussed with the holodeck a lot. It's just like, and I think we talked about this a little bit off mic before we started recording, but like, what exactly is the HR protocols on holodeck stuff
Is there like a for sure
in the holodeck?
Is there an HR on the Enterprise?
I think it's supposed to be Troy, which makes it extra fucked up that Broccoli's fantasy is, I'm going to fuck the HR lady.
Well, it gets into something interesting, which is just like, I get, you would think that this would be something, because the implications of the holodeck just in general are massive, but it gets into like, you think there would be like program or like safeguards or
yeah, you think when you're like, computer, make a sexy version of my boss. Yeah. That the computer like, would be like,
you know,
we're gonna flag this.
You know, like yeah. when you're you know, back in the before times, you know, when you'd have a job and you'd like on your job you'd like, if you're on your work computer and you go to like, you know, yeah, a site you're not supposed to go to, the website's, you know, it's like, hey, we block this.
Exactly.
Just like, don't do this on the work computer.
Hey,
Barkley,
you're at work. He's at his job.
It's crazy because, like, it's suggested in this episode that everyone knows that this is a thing and everyone's cool with it. Because when he talks to Geordi, when Geordi goes into the holodeck because fucking Broccoli's late for work again, he goes in and gets him and he sees this Three Musketeers fantasy and he sees, like, I am the goddess of empathy. So he knows Broccoli is fucking his crewmates.
Well,
his holodeck
versions.
He finds
that out and he does, like, he is taken aback by it at first.
Well, he's taken aback. He talks to him, but he's also like, listen, Broccoli, what you do,
we all do this,
is your own business, okay?
Exactly.
I know, he like, Geordi has like a weird like priest confessional attitude toward the holodeck.
Yeah,
it's like,
yeah.
Listen, this is a sacred space. We all know. But listen, we've all done things in the holodeck.
All, and like, this is chronologically coming after the episode where Geordi in the holodeck, while he's trying to figure out like a big, we need to restart the blah 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 about the ship. He creates in the holodeck a like version of the engineer that like built the Enterprise or something, and falls in love with this like beautiful lady. And that happened like maybe like 5 episodes before this one.
Well, see, that's an interesting thing because like in that, because that got me thinking, like, the idea of making a hollow version of a real life person, like in that context, when what he does makes sense because he needs to talk to the designer of the Enterprise to solve a problem.
He's
in that
like,
context,
I
that
want
seems
to
totally
yeah
fine.
Speak to a coworker about this problem,
yeah,
and then he ends up being like,
weird.
Wait, I have feelings for you, and I need to shut this down.
Yeah, and he didn't like program her to like be like
be sexy or anything.
He didn't.
Yeah.
He didn't program her and then be like, computer, make her hornier.
Yeah.
Because
see,
that is literally
be,
what
see,
Broccoli
that
be does.
A safeguard. Horny level should be a safeguard in the Enterprise. There should be a restriction on horniness.
There should be restrictions. There should be like, if your coworker has used your likeness in the holodeck, you should get like pinged about that.
Yeah,
to be
you should
like,
get like a notification.
What
for sure.
was this? And they exactly like, is there an incognito mode for the holodeck? Are there like safe search options you can turn on? Because we see it, especially in earlier seasons, like the There's like some, I want to say it's season one, maybe it's season two, of Wesley and another kid are going into the holodeck for like a ski lesson or something. So it's like children use the holodeck for like recreational things. So are there options to be like the children kids cannot mode. Be like, yeah, make that one hot person in here so I can fuck them. But because it seems like there should be these rules. What else was I going to say?
Humans were not meant for the holodeck. Like the, even like sex is just one thing that like, I imagine too, there's people who are probably just like, yeah, let me go to the holodeck and just set up the program where I like behead everyone I work with.
I mean,
like, people are monsters and I feel like the
it's
holodeck,
too much for humans. Yeah.
Yeah. It's just an open invitation to like your darkest, impulses without consequence.
Yeah. But I guess that brings up, we can get more into the plot of the episode, but later on when it's Troy, Riker, and Geordi go into the holodeck to find Broccoli, and he's in the midst of his Three Musketeers horniness. It's like Riker sees his rude recreation in the holodeck where he's short and he has a silly high-pitched voice.
Yeah, they've like pitched his voice
up. He's not good at sword fighting and he wants to delete it immediately. And Troy is like, now, like if we take away Broccoli's outlets, like this could be...
Because like this is his only means of escape and he's come to depend on it. A sudden deletion could be traumatic.
And then she sees her, the version that Broccoli is made of her in the holodeck, which is her in some flimsy material saying, I am the goddess of empathy and I would love to hear about what a sad sack you are, Broccoli. And when Troy sees that, she is understandably upset.
And then pervert Riker's like,
yeah, let's
kind
keep
of
her.
Like, hold on, maybe we should leave this open.
We don't want to destroy his fantasy.
So it all sucks.
You know, there's nothing wrong with a healthy fantasy life as long as you don't let it take over.
You call this healthy?
You're taking it so seriously. It's not without its element of humor. I am the goddess of empathy. Cast off your inhibitions and embrace love, truth, joy.
Oh my God.
Discard your facades and reveal your true being to me. Computer, discontinue.
Computer, belay that order. We want to get more insight into what's been troubling this poor man, remember? Quite a healthy fantasy life, wouldn't you say?
Mm.
But, yeah, seems like there should be some safeguards in the holodeck, and some things should be best left to journaling, let's say. Like, can someone give Broccoli a fucking diary to write down all of his perversions into, so that he doesn't have to use the likeness of his coworkers.
I think when the ship is like not docked, like when it's like on duty, they're traveling through space on a mission. At no point should you be able to like do sex programs.
Sex programs should just be outlawed.
Well, hold on, Mike. What I'm getting at is there are other people on the Enterprise other than the crew members. Like, there's families and regular Joes.
I assume they have their own holodeck.
Get their rocks off. Oh, okay. So holodeck 4 is, like, for officers only.
Right, the officers' holodeck.
That's the filthy one. That's where all the
bad shit goes. The civilians should be able to do whatever they want.
Yeah, civilians are...
reason.
The children still need their ski trip holodeck.
Well, it gets into a question I had of, like, the line between something like porn and the holodeck. Like, what, mm-hmm. you know what I mean? Like, what would be acceptable? You know what I mean? In as far as the holodeck goes, compared to something like porn, which is like how do I describe this? You're not interacting directly with the performer in a porn. It's there's a separation there. But with the holodeck, I guess what I'm getting at is, like, what do you guys think the boundaries are, the acceptable boundaries of something like sex in the holodeck?
Because I think in the context of work, I think it's the same as pornography.
Yeah,
like
you should not be... It should not... Yeah, exactly.
Well, and specifically in this episode, we see Broccoli go from like running straight from a meeting.
He's late to work.
He's late to work consistently because of his porn addiction.
Yeah,
let's call it what
dropped.
It is.
I think Jordy drops a line after he pulls him out of there. He's like, "You're going to write the book on hall addiction." So this is a thing. People getting addicted to the holodeck, and again,
I would
totally see that.
Like, I'm not saying I would do what Broccoli did, but I'm sure if there was a thing as a holodeck, I would be addicted to it for sure. Like, I would just be doing
it
like
would
all
be
kinds
a big
of crazy
problem.
Stuff.
Yeah, yeah. Well,
everyone would be. I bet. So, it's well, too good.
Talking
it's too much.
Specifically about like the context of the holodeck and porn, that makes me think. Like, is there like regular pornography in the Star Trek universe of like, could you just go to your quarters and bring up like just
computer.
A video on
bring up
of
big,
like
big butts or whatever.
Okay, yeah, you're searching for big butts touching. And it, could you just like
I want to see big butts touching, please.
They should touch each other. If you're just
no,
off the clock,
too freaky. I just want to see them touching.
You're off the clock, you're in your own quarters, and you're like, I want to look at porn. Like, sure, totally. I feel like the holodeck would be closer to, like, and it's still not the same, but, like VR porn,
yeah,
where that exists in not Star Trek times of, like, you're, you know, quote-unquote, in a video where POV, you know, someone's, like, going down on you or something. And that's still, like... It's not you in it. It's you're not part of the video, but the point of it is you're supposed to be
it's
like,
oh,
immersive. It's
like
me.
Like,
yeah,
like
I can
yeah.
pretend that it's me.
The difference there is that's like a pre-recorded thing. It's, you
yeah.
know what I mean? It's not. It's that video isn't impacted by anything you're doing.
And you
whereas
and
the
you
holodeck,
can't again say like put on the POV porn and put my boss's face on the.
Yeah,
on a porn
yeah.
performer.
It's someone who is like, you know, doing what they want to do. They're, you know, they're doing it. I mean, yeah, they're doing it themselves.
They're at their job.
Yeah, exactly. It's not so. It's not like fucking Counselor Troy unwittingly being made an avatar in like this guy's sex fantasy.
Yeah, exactly. And anyway, but yeah, where were we? We can go back to synopsis because
The B plot
is again like something is malfunctioning.
I love the A plot is like
the A plot
weird.
Is this creepy incel
fantasy.
What do
the
we
B
do
plot is yeah the Enterprise is about to blow up whatever
yeah yeah something like that. They're trying to figure out like what is there like a toxin, what was exposed, what's blah blah blah.
There's all this weird shit happening like the,
all this
the
stuff happening in engineering
weird. This guy has like a drink and suddenly like his
one of my
fingers,
my favorite
like
dramatic stingers in the show is like they're just all sitting around at the bar and like they notice their drink
the
is
cup
like
breaks
their
or something.
Cup is leaky.
Well, it's like leaking and the guy's like fingers are like sinking into the glass. Like
yeah,
the molecular structure is like compromised
changed.
Or something. Yeah,
and there's like dramatic music and there's like a cut commercial stinger. Like
of this cup.
It's like maybe yeah. you just had some these glasses or you know.
No, it's a molecular blah blah blah. So yeah, they're all trying to figure it out. The engineering team in particular. So Jordy and Broccoli and people are trying to figure it out.
And it's kind of like the stuff with Broccoli is he's like, this is his opportunity to show that he's useful kind of thing. Like,
yeah.
Hey,
he's bumbling through
can
it.
Can you figure, can you be a useful asset to the team? And there's like a good like managerial kind of thing going on here where Picard is like, listen, I know you all hate Broccoli and you think he's useless, but maybe, you know, it's the easy thing to just get rid of him. Like this is a world in which money is no, it's mm-hmm. not a problem. So he... And Picard, like, no, it's like he chose to be here. Like, he doesn't. This isn't like.
He didn't join the military because he was too poor to, like, do anything else.
Right,
kinda.
Or any other job. Like,
and yet he chose this profession.
He could just do anything, but he decided to be here. So, like, figure out what he's.
Figure out how to work with him.
And he does have stuff to contribute.
He has skills as an engineer. And I think we mentioned,
I mean,
like.
He still needs to go.
He still is a pervert and does terrible
well,
things. But
at
we
the
mentioned.
Very least, I'm sorry, go
yeah,
ahead.
Go ahead.
No, go ahead.
Well, we mentioned the anxiety kind of side of it, where and I think it is like a good performance from
Dwight Schultz, whose biggest claim to fame before Next Generation was he was on the original the A-Team show. He was Murdoch.
Oh shit. That's okay. Because I think it's a
which
very
is the
good...
complete opposite of Rockley.
Yeah, right.
Or Barkley, I should say.
But I like his performance of this like genuinely like very anxious person. Like the way it's played even is like, you know, is this guy like possibly on the spectrum? Like it seems like there's a lot about like social cues and interactions that he just kind of doesn't get. And there is like, you know, sympathy through that performance. And then it just goes straight into and then. Dr. Crusher is going to wear a big gown with her corset with her tits pushed up
really,
and I'm going to lay my head in her lap.
The Crusher
thing is especially confusing because we don't see them interact in this episode.
No.
So he is presumably going to, you know, sick bay for regular reasons and then coming out being like, and then what if she strokes my hair?
That's
and
the first time we see Crusher in this episode is in his like other Three Musketeers fantasy.
Do we ever see her? Yeah, do we see her out of the holodeck?
No, he's just privately horny for his doctor on top of everything else.
His doctor and his therapist.
God, again, just such predictable fucking power fantasy shit. But it's this like, you know, uncomfortable juxtaposition of like what could be, you know, a very sympathetic character with like for my money like some irredeemable acts on his part.
I wonder if this is like an 80s thing where it is all supposed to be like
a boys will be boys thing about it.
Yeah.
Well, it's crazy because like Guinan even suggests that she knows about it because when she's talking to Jordy, she's just like,
he's got an imagination.
He's like, believe me, I know he has an imagination. So she fucking knows what he's up to in the holiday. She's cool with it. Guinan gave her blessing,
you should
which is fucked
give
up.
Give your coworkers the heads up that this is happening.
Yeah, why wasn't there a scene where Guinan's going into Picard's office? Because, you know, her and Picard are like super close. They have this history together, which is never fully explored, but it's always just hinted at. And she's like, Captain, you might
need to talk.
Captain,
there's a real incel.
Barkley needs to go.
But instead, she's just like, oh, it's okay.
Well, and so that conversation. That conversation that Guinan has with Geordi, where Geordi's like, I don't know what to do with this fucking guy. And Guinan's like, you know, anxiety is a thing. Like, you could do X, Y, and Z.
There's a good line she has where Geordi's like, he's always late and he...
And like nervous and
he's
stuff.
He's always late and nervous, yeah. And she says something like, well, wouldn't you be always late and nervous if you thought no one liked you?
So it's it's like a catch 22. Like, he's nervous because they're all... he's late and nervous and he's made more late and nervous by the fact that they know this and they don't like him. So it's like it's this cycle that keeps happening.
Yeah. And if it was just like, if it wasn't like the sex pervert end of it, you'd be like, yeah, I can see like that's a real thing of like, he maybe already doesn't fully understand or feel, you know, comfortable in these like social dynamics. And so he's already kind of like acting quote unquote weird, and people take that as like, oh, well, you're a weird guy, so I don't like you. But again, like with the context of like what we see him doing in the holodeck, it feels
what we see him
it
doing.
Feels more like this man has a guilty conscience for his many sins and he should feel nervous.
Well, I don't want to say to his credit, but at the very least, once Geordi walks in on him on the first time and pulls him out of the holodeck,
he knows to be ashamed.
He immediately knows what he's doing is wrong, and he's just like, you know what, transfer me, or what he probably should say.
Yeah,
is like,
it just like cuts he should probably, from like the well, there in the deck, doesn't it? Like cuts to like So ten forward. I'll make this easy on you.
I'll resign.
In disgrace.
At the very least, he knows what he's doing is wrong, and it was just like, and I think he says either transfer or does he say full on like I'll resign tomorrow?
Like, oh no, I think he does say like I'll put in the request. To transfer.
Okay, Broccoli. So he doesn't say like, you know what, I don't belong in Star Trek. I don't belong in Starfleet. You know, this is clearly inappropriate behavior. I will check myself into a whatever. I need to go to rehab. No, what he says is, I'll just transfer somewhere else.
No, you can shuffle me off somewhere else. That's where it comes down to. I feel like a very I think it's the 90s at this point of season three, but it's a very 80s, 90s kind of thing of like, we're talking about sexual harassment here in like a very real way, but the show isn't really talking about that.
It's not there yet.
It
puts the fantasies of like Troy and Crusher on the same level as programming. How he does for the dudes, where he basically,
yeah, they're just like silly caricatures who I sword fight with.
Yeah, and he's telling them what for. And like that's on the same level as like I'm fantasizing about having sex with Troy, which are two different things.
Yeah. And that feels like the most kind of dated thing about it. Where like by the end of the episode, which I guess we skip to that. It's the kind of rest of the bridge crew, or like I said, Troy, Riker. And Geordi all know about his sick fantasies. And then Barclay helps, you know, figure out what was wrong with the ship, and they get saved in the nick of time. And the episode ends with Broccoli's saying goodbye to the bridge crew, but he's really saying goodbye to his holodeck fantasies, which he deletes except for one, which who knows what kind of
he's walking away. Except program nine.
But
what is program nine?
What is program nine? First of all, I must be disgusting. Second of all, like the way that episode ends would be Troy hates his guts for all of time, because why wouldn't she? And she tells all of her female colleagues, like, stay away from Broccoli, because that's how that goes. You're like, there's a pervert on our ship.
At the very least,
don't be alone in a room with him.
Shouldn't he have holodeck access, like, revoked?
Yeah, I think his holodeck privileges should be taken away,
or at least like you got to be like supervised or something.
You have
to run the child program.
Yeah,
like,
you are only on safe certain.
You can do the skiing program with Crusher, but with Wesley. But that's it.
And actually, you know what? I don't think you should be alone in a room with children either. I'm just gonna say that because I don't know what the fuck you're capable of, you pervert. But anyway, yeah, like it just feels very, you know, 80s at the end of the day, where we do see Broccoli in episodes after that, and he as a character is much more comfortable around people and kind of has found like more ways to be friendly and not he's still socially awkward and dealing with anxiety, but he knows how to work with people better.
If you hadn't seen this episode, if you'd only seen Broccoli in later episodes, like you would never know that he had this sick
fantasy. It
only focuses on his anxiety, which again, if you were to take the Barclay character and just remove this episode, he would be like a relatable character in a lot of ways. And again, which I think is really welcome in this show, because as I said before, all the other characters, our main bridge crew, are made to be like almost infallible at times, you know. Mm-hmm. They can do
especially
no wrong.
Early on, yeah.
Yeah, especially early on when they have no flaws, because Gene Roddenberry was like, no flaws.
This episode wouldn't have existed with Gene Roddenberry's influence.
But that's what I like about. That's why I actually really. Yeah. I haven't stated this yet because I was afraid you guys would call me a perv. Or whatever, but oh, I actually
my
I
fingers
actually,
on the button, Dave.
Well, no,
hashtag
I,
Barclay
I,
did no wrong.
No, I'm not saying that. I'm saying I like the Barclay episodes in general. I'm a fan of Barclay episodes.
No,
like,
I am
as
too.
As if someone's
yeah.
a fan of holodeck episodes or Q episodes, I particularly like Barclay episodes because, again, they focus on those lower tier characters that you never see that I really enjoy. I think that's like a cool aspect that the show does.
There's like a Broccoli interaction when Geordi is first like, okay, I'm gonna try with this guy. I'm gonna make him my project and help him out. Where he, Geordi is like, yeah, come to the briefing with like the senior engineer members or whoever. And Broccoli's like, what, me? You want me to go there? And that feels like a very realistic. You're like, well, I'm just some dude who works here. Like, I'm not a main character. I can't do that. and it's and Broccoli himself is like, not to say that every one of like the bridge crew is like a model gorgeous person, but they're all a little bit more spruced up and kind of conventionally leading actor actress, the way that's all styled. Okay, but Broccoli plays it as like he is some dude who is, nervous to be there around all these like intimidating, a lot of them good looking people.
And that touches into another thing I like that this episode does is it shows how our main characters react to people that aren't like them, like mm-hmm. perfect and all this. Because like Riker, like he, like from the Riker beginning is just like, I've already fucking had it with your shit, Broccoli. Like, this is the goddamn Enterprise.
What is
he
saying?
We set a different standard here. You hear me, motherfucker?
I'm tired of seeing your name on reports.
Yeah. And he, like, holds his arm, too, as Broccoli's leaving.
It's aggressive.
It's a good scene. Like, I feel the, like, nervous energy in that, for sure.
Mr. Barclay, I'm tired of seeing your name on report. I don't know what you got away with at your last posting, but this is the Enterprise. We set a different standard here. Understood. Understood, sir.
Yeah, can you imagine your boss, like, holding your arm as you're about to leave and just like, I'm tired of seeing your name on the nightly reports,
that would,
Broccoli.
That's also borderline inappropriate.
If that happened, I would just like, all right, I quit.
I'll go.
I'm not good enough.
Again, and Riker's a tall guy, so he would be intimidating.
And this, again, would be a great instance for someone to go back to their quarters and journal about it and write out their frustrations rather than going to the holodeck and pretending to put someone in a headlock at a bar.
This episode is revealing about some of the characters. Like, so we see how Riker reacts to this guy, how he reacts to somebody with anxiety, God forbid. And then this episode makes me love Geordi even more, because Geordi's just a good dude. Because obviously, it makes sense. Geordi's
gives credit to Picard, because Picard gave Geordi this specific directive. I want you to become his best friend.
Be friends with this guy. That's your job.
Like, I think Picard maybe realizes, like, hey, look at it from his perspective. He's nervous all the time. He probably feels like nobody likes him, which is true. But so Picard's doing, Picard, Ever the Diplomat, again, one of my favorite characters in fiction.
I think Picard, too, is not just, I got the vibe from Picard, it's not so much an empathetic thing, but Picard is more just seeing this as a challenge. Like, how can we make him useful?
It's very pragmatic, where he's like, look, let's make the best of it. Let's figure this out. Just,
It's the 24th goddamn century here.
It's also him, because like they're, as he's having that first meeting with Riker and Geordi, as they're telling him like this guy sucks, he's got his little, iPad that he's always thinking around with in his ready room. And he's just like, but yet I see these commendations here, this. Like he's trying to, he's playing, I don't want to say devil's advocate, but Ever the Diplomat.
He's looking at all sides of it,
Exactly. He's super professional. He's the captain. He should be professional. And he's just like, I get where you guys are coming from, but like I see these other things here that are telling me a different story, so maybe there's something in the middle, maybe, you know what I mean? I like what Picard does, and again, I like Geordi's reaction, because Geordi feels so real in this episode, because it's as a real, like a real dude, because he's put off by his behavior, he's pissed that he's late to work all the time, but he realizes, Picard's right, I'm gonna try to be friends with this guy, and he legitimately puts forth an effort to be like,
he starts calling him Reg.
And I like where when they're sitting at the bar, when he's sitting with Wesley and the other crew member,
the engineers,
Duffy, the guy's name is Duffy. The guy has a problem with his glass, right. He's just like, you know what, that Broccoli stuff stops now. You know what I mean? Like,
I know,
it's him being a good dude. Geordi's just
I really liked that Geordi moment, which again felt very like, hey, come on guys, like we're not doing that anymore.
Yeah,
good camp counselor Geordi here is like, hey, I called him Broccoli too, but it's not nice, and we got to cut it out.
Geordi's just a good dude. Yeah,
a good line towards the end of the show where you see that's paid off where Barkley is, Broccoli is talking about how hard real life is. And he says something like, you know, I feel like I can be myself. I'm more myself in the holodeck than I ever am out here. And the people there seem more real to me than they do out here, except for maybe you, Geordi.
And that was a cool moment. That's because Geordi's
like been seeing, he's been treating him like a, you know, a human that is trying to get to take his concerns seriously and his input seriously and all that.
And he's, you
that's
know,
all he needed.
He's giving him some more chances than maybe he deserves, but not, but that Geordi is making a real effort and it works. And he's able to get to the root of what's fucking wrong with Broccoli.
You know what? I think Broccoli, I love how we're only referring to him as Broccoli, by the way. I think it would have meant more if instead of him, I like that we see him say goodbye to his fantasy. That would have meant more if he literally got rid of all his fantasies and didn't say.
Yeah, I can't stop thinking, what is on Program 9? Like, what unspeakable.
But I mean, like, I think it's important that we see that we see him saying goodbye to his fantasies. But I think it would have meant a little more if we had an extra scene or if it was replaced with him just going to the real people and saying, like, hey, like, this was out of line. You know what I mean? It would have meant more
accountability.
If he had held himself accountable, and
he needs to give some real apologies to the actual people whose likenesses he used.
Like, Troy. Saying, like, I understand they're not transferring me.
It would have meant more if instead of him saying like you could transfer me, if he went to those people, particularly Troy, and basically was just like, you know, like, what do you think should be done with me? Essentially, like, give it to them. Like, what do you you know what I mean? Like, let them decide. You know, if because like you said, Jackie, like, Troy's got to serve with this guy for the next however many seasons there are with this going on. And as far as
knowing that he did what he did.
Knowing that he did what he did. So it would have meant more if he
and is still
her.
Doing it. What's on Program 9?
You don't know.
That's the question. But that would have been a really cool scene to see. Like, he goes to see Troy and apologizes and asks, like, do you want me to transfer? Or what do you want me to do? You know what I mean? Because I fucked up royally. Like, this was really fucked up. You know, that would have meant more. And then if Troy, at that point, her decision would have been, like, you know, if she had made that choice to be like,
right.
Yeah, you know
if
what?
She's like, listen.
It would be a very Star Trek decision. Yeah, if she was like, look, I don't like anything
like, that
needs
you
to did.
Stop.
But and I think you should work on your problems, but like X, Y, and Z. I'm trying to think of like a real world equivalent of like imagine that your coworker was making homemade porn of you. Like
At work.
Like, that would be just so fucking upsetting. Just
he's like
so
late to meetings
upsetting.
Because of it.
There's no precedent for the holodeck in real life. Like you said, Mike, like, and this is actually brought up, I think, really well in an episode of Futurama where something similar happens where you find out that there was some, I don't remember if it's a holodeck, but it's some sort of thing basically where like years ago, hundreds of years ago in the past, like they created this thing where like you could basically have like maybe it was like a robot or something.
Oh, I know what you're talking about. It's like they make like a robot you can have sex with, and then like civilization.
And they're
ends.
Super realistic. And the problem and what happens is like no one wants to go out into real life and interact with real people, and it becomes a real thing where it's like, oh god, like people are only going to have sex with these robots. They're not going to want to try to interact with real people, and it's going to doom the human race. Like that's an interesting thing, and I think a similar thing could probably happen with if the holodeck was a real thing. Like people would only be in the holodeck.
Yeah.
God, if the holodeck was real, why would you ever leave? Like,
why would you leave? Like, because it's shown in the show that stuff in the holodeck can be essentially real. Like,
when you are in the holodeck as like a human user of the holodeck, the way it's portrayed, you're basically God. Like
it feels real to you, and I think if I'm not mistaken, the way that the food replicators work kind of operate. They don't they say that they sort of operate on the same principle as the holodeck?
I think they either say that, or maybe we were talking about that at some other point. Because yeah, if you're like in the holodeck and you're getting like a drink, it's like, yeah, that's probably just the regular replicator is like making you that drink.
Yeah. Or, so for all intents and purposes, you could literally live in the holodeck in your own fantasy of your own making. So why would you ever leave?
And you don't. Money's not a thing, so it's not like you have to like go to work. Yeah.
Well, apparently any old person can walk into your ongoing holodeck fantasy and just be like, what the fuck? There's no lock on the door.
Like you would think, yeah, there's where's the lock? And also you would think like, I'm surprised that the,
maybe see, that's like the one thing they did right from an HR perspective is like, we're not going to put locks on the
you cannot lock yourself in
so
here.
So you
got to
be responsible, guys.
Bad.
No weird shit. I'm surprised. I would be surprised if when they go to get Broccoli out of that fantasy that second time that there's like a little not safe for work logo on the little panel.
Oh, yeah.
They're like, uh-oh, he's up to no good in there.
He has a sock on the holodeck.
There's a holodeck after dark hours where the children are again like not allowed in. This is the NSFW holodeck.
And that leads me to something that I remember talking with Chad with in when he was a human back in the day. We because you know we're both nerds. We grew up when Star Trek was on, so it's something that I remember talking about a lot. But like. So given that the holodeck is primarily used for sex fantasies, like what is the clean, is there like a cleanup crew that has to go in there after someone's used the holodeck?
Oh God. Like,
because technically, because I thought about this, technically what's coming out of Broccoli is a real thing. That's not a hollow fantasy. That's all Broccoli. So where does that go? You know what I mean? That's not a hollow thing.
God. I imagine that you have to clean up after yourself.
It's gym rules. We have to wipe it down after you're done.
Oh, my God. How pathetic a scene would that have been if we just see Broccoli with the fucking mop and
he takes
broom,
a little towel
just,
out.
Yeah, just like just cleaning out the Broccoli. Oh,
I would
broccoli.
Assume there's some like... Some Star Trek-esque, like, it just sprays down, like, sonic waves to get rid of all the filth left over.
Yeah, maybe there is some sort of, like, just, like, after you leave, there's just a cleansing, like, mist of, like,
or, you know what would have been a cool alternate ending to this? I got it.
The holodeck kills Broccoli.
No. It is even better. It's poetic justice. Okay. So if you remember a few minutes ago when I was saying like how cool would it have been if Broccoli went to Troy and talked to her and whatever.
Apologize for real.
What if Troy's decision was like, you know what, Broccoli, I'm glad you came to apologize. It really means a lot. However, you did fuck up. So for your punishment, I talked to Captain Picard. You are no longer going to be working in engineering. You are going to be working strictly in holodeck cleanup.
You are janitor. You are holodeck janitor.
You are going
janitor.
To have to clean up the dirtiness that you left in the holodeck. And among
and
others.
And that others like you leave.
Like Riker, for instance. We know that Riker goes in the holodeck 4 all the time. You are on holo cleanup right now. That is his penance. He has to clean the holodeck of all the dirty fantasies that everyone else on the ship
has.
He has
to go in with a little cart and sprays. Yes. And
with a squeaky wheel.
It has to be a squeaky wheel that gets caught.
Keeps getting caught on the carpet.
On the carpet. Oh, God.
Man. You know, it's funny. We joke, but there is a later episode. Maybe it's in the season. I can't recall. But if you guys remember, there's an episode when Famke Jensen, who if you all know, plays Jean Grey in the earlier X-Men movies. She comes on board, and her character is basically made to adapt to anyone's... she's made to be the perfect mate. So like for instance, like when she's around Picard, she suddenly like kind of turns and is suddenly more
I think I know this episode.
You remember this one?
So,
like suddenly she's more like
adapting
to what he wants in a mate essentially. So she starts talking about Shakespeare or whatever and all this other stuff. And when she's near Riker, for instance, she starts getting all horny because Riker's just this constant
horny
dog.
Like it's just horny.
But what's so funny about this is like as she's like coming on to Riker, he realizes what's happening and he knows about her. He backs out of the room. She's like, I can't do this. Ugh. He backs out of the room and then he walks down the hall for a minute and he's like, guys, he goes like, he presses his little communicator. If you need me, I'll be in Holodeck 4. Jesus. That is a scene that happens in this show.
Like, I am going to
Barkley,
jerk off.
Yes. I'm going to need you in the holodeck in about 5 minutes.
I'll let you know when I'm done.
Bring the mop. You know what to do.
Need you to be on standby, bro.
Funny. I wish I knew. I should have looked this up before, but I wish I knew if that episode came before or after this episode. Because if it's after this episode, that means that Riker is just as pervy as Broccoli.
Well,
and you got to wonder, is Riker making Riker a hollow fantasy of Famke Janssen?
Presumably imagining, like, or designing his coworkers.
That's the question. We don't know.
Because he immediately does this after he has that encounter with Jean Grey. Yeah. The question is, like, is he making a hollow fantasy of her or just a hollow fantasy? Yeah.
Maybe he's accessing program number 9.
Yeah. I was going to say about, I think it's a line during the talk with Geordi, Riker, and Picard at the beginning, where they're like, what do we do with this guy? And Picard's like looking over his file and stuff, where there's some line about, like, well, his psychological profile says that he's like introverted and kind of like nervous and stuff. And I just want to say, like, the psychological profile should pick up on if you are going to use the holodeck to create gross fantasies of your coworkers, because what else are they screening for if not stuff like that? They're like, if you're a violent murderer or something, we'll catch that. But if you're a sex pervert, we don't care. Come on in.
It shows a lot of what Starfleet is cool with. Like, because I think in season 1, we see, like, Worf has these really violent exercise programs where he's, like, killing these alien guys with his batolith. And that goes into another question. So it's not just sex stuff. It's also just, like, violent stuff. Like, what if you have violent tendencies? Because, this has been brought up, like, in modern-day real-world settings with video games. Like, do violent video games cause this and that? So interesting things brought up in Star Trek.
Interesting questions. Yes. But yeah, and again with the Worf thing, it's like, you know, is he going in to be like, I need to, like, get out my Klingon frustrations to do my, like, violent exercises, or am I going in there to pretend that I'm cutting off Riker's head?
Yeah.
You know, because those are two different things. And again, I feel like there's an exchange when they go into the holodeck into Broccoli's fantasy, and Riker sees his rude recreation, and he's just like, this is against, you know, regulation. And Geordi or Troy says, like, well, I don't think there's any, like, rule against it. And Riker's like, well, there should be. And it's like, yeah,
there will
there
be
should
now.
Be. There absolutely should be.
There
will
Why
be wouldn't
now,
there
hopefully.
Be a rule about this? I wrote down some more holodeck questions I have, which are, like, obviously there are, like, files you can save of like your own holodeck creations that, as we've said many times, Broccoli saves a specific program that we
9.
Don't know what's on it, but like, are these records that like your boss can look into? Is this like your internet history where someone can go in and be like, you looked up what? You programmed what?
I'm sure they could probably put like a password on certain programs.
Yeah, is it
stuff,
like password
imagine.
Protected stuff? Is it, again, yeah. like, is there an incognito mode? is there the safe search stuff? Are should privacy and ethical reasons, like, should other people be able to see your holodeck fantasies? And again, in this specific context, I think your coworker should be made aware. But like, yeah, that's some fucked up shit.
One thing we should probably mention, since this is technically like the stakes of the episode, the B plot in this episode, because, you know, for anyone who hasn't seen
it.
Oh,
yes.
Basically, the Enterprise in the beginning of the episode brings on some cargo from, like, I guess, like a not as developed species as the Federation.
Actually, I really like this B plot. I thought it was neat.
Well, it's funny because it's only touched upon. Like, the thrust of the episode is Barkley and his hollow diction fantasies. But the B plot kind of comes in every now and then to just kind of up the stakes. And eventually we find out that someone dropped a container from this shit that they brought onto the Enterprise from this species who was less developed. So they haven't had, like, they haven't been able to, like, what is it? Like, prevent some sort of, it's like a gas or something.
Yeah, some toxin or something that's, yeah, like, not used in any kind of, like, you know, regular Starfleet stuff, but because it's a planet with, you know, less developed technologies, yeah, or some such, like, it came on board and now it's interacting with something to, like, make a bunch of stuff malfunction. So, like,
yeah, and it's not something they think to scan for. So, yeah, so it's kind of spreads around the ship and it causes all these weird things and it eventually culminates in
antimatter is
fucking with the engine or something like that, and they're going into warp speed. They can't stop. The ship's gonna fly apart. And Broccoli figures it out. It's just like, oh, it's this gas that we brought on it. Oh, and you dropped the container and you were exposed to it and you spread it around the ship and this and that. He puts the pieces together and you get that really great moment again where Geordi just kind of, you know, he gives him like the thumbs up, whatever. He's just like, I'm glad you were out here, Broccoli, in the real world, whatever. Like, I just love Geordi. He's just a good dude.
Yeah, the highlight of this episode is like, man, Geordi's great.
Geordi's great.
So good.
But there's one thing we haven't mentioned, and I wanted to touch on it earlier. I'm wondering if you guys noticed this, but it's the Guinan scene. When she's talking to Geordi, she's giving her bartender advice like she does. Was it just me, or was Guinan wearing a Cheeto outfit?
I wrote down a note about that outfit because it's so, like, the bumpy texture and the Cheeto color. I loved it. All of Guinan's outfits are perfect.
I wanted to take a bite out of her shirt. It was like a Cheeto.
It was so textured. It was just so interesting. Where, oh man, that
we got to start carrying Cheetos in the store, and I want a Cheeto.
Oh damn, I could go for some flaming hot Cheetos right now.
I mean, I don't know what the price of them are on the waist right now. I haven't looked in a while. It's probably they go for a pretty penny, I bet.
Pretty steep. For that,
but, I mean, it was Cheeto orange, the outfit she was wearing.
It was Cheeto orange.
And it took me off guard because typically we see Guinan in like her dark purple outfit.
I feel like, yeah, there's like some purples. There would be like there's deep like a blue red. In there. Yeah. Yeah. Like,
but this was flat out Cheeto orange and it took me off guard.
It was great.
It was pretty cool. Great. Well, Mike, I feel like Jackie and I have kind of dominated the discussion so far in the episode. Like, was there any points that you wanted to touch on?
I mean, I really like that this is definitely an episode that wouldn't have existed in season one or two. Like,
no.
Where it really is about people's faults, and not just Broccoli's, but, you know, people dealing with Broccoli and not dealing with them in a good way, or, you know, and kind of learning how to deal with them. All the weird pervert stuff aside, I like the B plot in this a lot, where they're just kind of like solving a problem and figuring out. I think it does like a credible explanation, because basically what I don't know if we've outright said what was going on, but stuff in the ship is falling apart and none of it seems related to each other. It's like, oh, the glasses are falling apart, and like
The transporter's
screwing up. And what Broccoli realizes is like, wait a minute, the only thing connecting these things are us. Like, it's the engineering team. And what, maybe we're carrying something that can't be scanned. And so him and Geordi and like everyone kind of do this. I love this scene where they're like, okay, computer, list all the materials that can't be scanned. And it's like 5,000, whatever.
It's like 15,000.
Yeah, and they have at this point, it's like the ship's about to explode. Yeah, and they have like 10 minutes or whatever. so he's like, okay, of those things, like, limit it to items that can survive in an oxygen environment, which is like a smart thing. And they're like, oh, okay, now it's like 300, and now they like limit it further. I forgot what they said.
Yeah, they get down to like three
five
options. Yeah. Yeah, and then they're
Barclay's like, oh, the half-life of this one's like 15 seconds, it wouldn't exist. Mm-hmm. And so it's like, oh, it's like these couple, like these three things it could possibly be. And they're like, well, one of these things, it seems like it existed on that old planet that we went to. and we picked up those canisters. Those canisters must have this thing that can't be scanned that we've been spreading around and is screwing up everything on the ship. Let's just freeze it. So they just like freeze it to make it inert, and then the ship doesn't explode.
And that doesn't explode.
It's a great little problem solving thing.
I thought for a split second, like when they're in engineering talking, spitballing what could have went wrong, and Broccoli goes, Duffy, you were there when the canister broke. For a split second, I thought, are they just going to eject this Duffy guy into space to eliminate
kill
the problem?
Duffy.
Duffy, I think.
Duffy, you got to go.
Duffy, I'm sorry, but.
You've been infected.
You've got to make the sacrifice. I did really like that scene, yeah, where they're it's the engineering team, and they're like going through all the options. They're talking to the computer and delivering all this like jargon heavy dialogue in a way that like I wasn't sure if it's just like the nostalgia of it, but like it feels like that kind of dialogue just works a lot smoother and more naturally than, you know, the equivalent in like
Picard.
Picard or like a Star Trek Discovery or something like that. And I wonder if it's just because like the already like, you know, the way that they are speaking is already feels like a little bit more stylized because it's, you know, in like the 80s and 90s and stuff, or if it's just,
I think it's like in Discovery and Picard, it's more just like nonsense.
Well, like, that's the thing. I don't know, because
there's nothing to like latch onto. It's like the transporter car.
It feels like that, but you know, in a scene like that where they're saying like, well, it can't be like bibbidi bobbidi because of this and da da da, and it is all, you know, made up shit, but it just feels like, I don't know, like the tension is more real, or just the way that they're saying that they're carrying the words feels like more urgent and more,
it's less hectic,
believable.
Too. It's like more just like,
that might be part of it too, where
camera's not spinning around.
There's not 16 lens flares going off and I don't know, but it's a scene like that where it just really makes me appreciate the older Star Treks.
Well, you mentioned the tension. There was a moment that made me laugh out loud in this episode. It's towards the end when they're trying to figure shit out, and they're like, oh, it's that thing in the cargo bay. Let's go. And we cut to Barkley and Geordi calmly walking down the hallway.
The ship
down
is
this
explode
carpeted hallway,
in 15 minutes.
Literally as the computer is saying overhead, 5 minutes until ship destruction or
they
whatever.
They're walking so calmly.
It made me think of you, Mike. You mentioned the carpeting on the previous episode. They're just calmly walking down this carpeted hallway, and just as the ship is about to tear itself apart, it just made me laugh. Like,
incredible. Incredible
something,
stuff.
Something about the fact that everything is carpeted, like, honestly, I might have been walking too. Like, it seems like the Enterprise
you're
is
like,
this,
well, I can't run in here.
Luxury.
I thought about this.
Line.
I was like, do you think they tried filming it running and it just looked weird?
It
or
just
something?
Looked goofy. Yeah.
Even if they were just like, power walking.
They could have power walked it given the situation. But so weirdly, the carpet in the Enterprise is, and it's you know what? It's the carpet, and it's that tan color on the bridge that is so oddly calming to me.
We've talked about this before. That like, I think we mentioned this in the pilot discussion. That like, the Enterprise in TNG is like almost like too relaxing and calming.
Yes.
Like we would all just fall asleep.
They got rid of those extremely reclined bridge chairs, but
yeah, that's
yeah,
a
the,
plus. Yeah.
The carpeting and like the wooden accents on the bridge is very just
so
like
cozy.
let's take a breather. Let's.
I would just lie down on that carpet and just.
Well, I didn't have... Well, the last note I had, this is just a little interesting character thing I thought was fun. The fact that instead of saying program, Barkley pronounces it as program.
Program?
Program.
Sensor.
Delete everything except program 9.
Program. Sensor 8.
What do we think was on program 9?
So the implication has to be that it's like another like sexy pervert thing, right?
That's, I mean, right? Like
it has to be that.
Yeah.
It couldn't be like, oh, that's the fantasy where I'm Superman or something, and I'm
that's the one where I go
people.
To like a water park.
No, it's the one where he's like doing, he's banging someone or something.
That one's it's like a mega gangbang with like every like female it's every like female colleague he's ever interacted with.
Yeah,
and it's just like the most disgusting like pit of sin that is like if they found that one, like that would be like no questions asked.
They
like,
have
you
to
are fired. You are
it's just so filthy now.
If they find that one, he's gonna be like dishonorably discharged. Because it's not just like, oh, Troy is wearing a Grecian outfit and I like that. It's just like hardcore disgusting.
Well, so here's a question I have for you guys. So clearly, you know, he should not be doing this shit on the job. That is so unprofessional. But a question I have, do you think it would be okay if instead of someone, this is just a hypothesis, or just something theoretical, I'm putting out there. If someone, if they didn't make a hollow version of real people to do sex things with, would it be acceptable if he basically had the computer conjure something like a fake person? In that instance, would it be?
I think it's totally different at that point. I mean, still have the problem of like,
you are at
work.
You are going straight.
Well, no, assuming let's just assume again. This
he
is
does
just,
this
I'm
all
just talking
on his
about
own
the
time.
Implications of the holodeck
on his
and the
own
things
time.
That are
yeah,
not
I don't.
Acceptable.
I don't think that's. I mean, I'm willing to hear arguments otherwise, but I don't think that's like bad per se, as long as it's like not taking over your life.
That's what I'm wondering, like, is it the same with that in that instance then, if you're conjuring up like just an approximation of a person a fake person, in that instance, is that more or less the same thing as something like Jackie mentioned, like VR porn? Is it like this, you know what I mean?
Think it would be basically on the level of VR porn at that point. If you're just like, even if you're like, oh, I have a crush on Troy, if you're just like, conjure like a dark haired woman and then I'll have sex with her, it's like that's still even if you had ill intent there, that is still just like basically regular porn, I would say, as opposed to, again, conjure up the exact image of a person I work with.
Like, so that should be the safeguard. Like, you can conjure up real images of real people, but you can't do it in a sexual situation.
I don't even know if I would say you can ever conjure up real people.
Well again, we talk about the Geordi example.
How the hell would Geordi have solved that issue if you
episodes back? He wouldn't
back
have been able to see
the
Enterprise.
Are you saying that Data can't play poker with Einstein? It's Isaac Newton.
That's,
why
I
are
was
you
gonna
denying
bring that
Data
up too.
His poker buddies?
If you're Data or something, and you're like, yeah, I want to go talk to Albert Einstein about science and poker, then like, okay, sure. What the fuck ever.
There's nothing sexual there.
Okay. So maybe you can't conjure up anyone on the ship.
I think you should, if you're using the likeness of someone that you actively work with, like, they should get a notification.
Yeah, and at the very least.
It's like, even if it's just the equivalent of, like, you know, oh, so-and-so went to your page, like, looked at your profile or something. It's like, you should get that notification so you, as a person, can be like, hey, what is this about? Like, I just got this notification. Like, what is that? And have maybe an uncomfortable conversation, but it's like, it's not, you know, you can't get away with that.
Mr. Barkley, tell me about Program 9.
Tell me about the contents of Program 9.
I'll make this easy on you. I'll agree to a transfer.
Troy hands over an iPad with like, the paperwork is all done. We just need your signature, and then you
Barkley,
can get out of here.
We found Program 9.
We found it. Which, again, I'll say, like, even if IRL, you found the porn of someone you knew, and it's all like simulations of like
your
someone.
Your face has been cut and pasted.
Well, if it's cut and paste, that would be like, you need to go to jail. But if it was, you found someone's porn stash, and it was all, you know, Troy finds his magazines of like dark haired lady who with a calming voice does X, Y, and Z, and it's like you can tell. It's about you, but it's not like your literal image. It's like, that's still kind of sketchy, but it's not the worst possible thing you could do. I don't know. I think it's a very good thing that we don't have holodecks at our disposal as humans in our time.
That's the problem, because everyone would want it and no one would
leave. Everyone want it and no one.
I think the holodeck just needs sensible safeguards built
into it. We just need some safeguards is the thing.
Maybe a time limit too. Like after a certain point, it just like you. Yeah. After like, you know, 8 hours, you have to leave.
It's
8 hours. What are you doing in the holodeck for 8 hours, Mike?
Yeah, fucking A.
I don't know. I'm just thinking like the longest possible time. You know, maybe it's like a Saturday, your day off, and you just want to go to the beach.
Okay, that makes sense. Okay.
Even so, 8 hours. Other people need to use the holodeck. You should. It should be like 2 hour blocks.
How many holodecks are there?
Max. Other people want to go skiing. There's children here waiting to use the holodeck, and
The point is, there should be a limit. We can all agree there needs to be limits on the holodeck.
Mike, you need to get out of the holodeck. Worf wants to kill some aliens. Come on.
Worf is itching to fight some aliens.
His calisthenic program ain't going to play itself. Come on.
You have to respect your coworkers in this way by not using their likenesses to fuck and also letting them use the holodeck.
Well, do you guys have any other talking points on Hollow Pursuits, or will that wrap it up?
I also just got that the title, like, I got that the title was, like, it's a Hollow Pursuit to, like, chase these made-up things, but also Hollow, Holodeck,
You just got that?
I did. my final note is fuck broccoli. That I had written down. Yeah, the incel of it like is especially just obvious and uncomfortable in you know the 21st and so on century.
Well, I enjoyed this episode. It was fun revisiting it. It does. I don't think it. Because as I said before, I'm a big fan of the Barkley episodes. I think they're fun. I don't think this one ruins the future Barkley episodes for me. I still enjoy those episodes. But it will always be now, I think, in the back of my head that this character trait is there with Barkley. And actually, it makes me wonder, like, did he overcome this? Like, maybe he talked to Counselor Troy for real, and she, like, helped
you
him.
You know what?
I will
delete Program 9.
He's like, you're right. Hold on.
Where's that episode? I want a little epilogue where he walks down with Counselor Troy, and Counselor Troy's like, nods at him, like, you're ready. I think it's time. And then he deletes the program. That would have been a big character building moment for Broccoli.
It would. Yeah, I agree with you, Dave, that there are other Broccoli episodes. Maybe I'll call him Barkley in those ones even. But where he
has to earn it.
He has to earn my respect. And so far, he has not. but that I think he is an interesting character and an interesting addition to, you know, our bridge crew and our main players. And, you know, there's many things about this episode that are icky, but I also enjoy this episode and I enjoy yelling at a TV screen. So at the end of the day, I had a good time.
Yeah. I love this episode. It's really fun. I love, there's not really much to say about it, but Patrick Stewart is one of the Three Musketeers is really good.
Oh,
actually,
yeah.
All of them in the Three Musketeers wear is really funny.
I love the way it's like shot, where it's kind of like a soft focus, and there's just kind of
it's all pink lighting and
adventure film,
right? Yeah, like a Errol Flynn kind of thing. That was all super fun. That's the kind of stuff I love about the holodeck and love about this show. really.
That's the thing. For all that the holodeck is an ethical nightmare, the holodeck episodes are fun. Any excuse for them to put on silly outfits and go on like a different set or go on location and stuff is fucking fun. And
that's all Program 9 is. Maybe it's just...
That one's just only costumes.
Yeah, it's just swashbuckling.
I think he wouldn't have said it with the tone that he did if that were true, but... Maybe I'll
accept program
believe in
nine.
Goodwill. Yeah, those are my thoughts.
Well, all right. That was Hollow Pursuits. And it seems like we kind of got a thing going where we're going to choose an episode from each season and go in order from there. So 1 through 7, and then come back to season 1, go do it again. So next episode, we will have a selection from season 4 of Next Generation. So and Mike, I'm going to leave this to you. Jackie picked Hollow Pursuits. I think I picked Measure of a Man. So I'm going to leave the season 4 episode selection to you, my friend.
I have some ideas, and I'll be looking through season 4, but I'll just say I'm either looking for a Q-centered episode or a Guinan-centered episode.
Oh, okay. I like it. I can only hope that Guinan is wearing her Cheeto outfit again.
I hope that one comes back into rotation because it's a winner in my books. I wanted to reach out and touch it. All those bumps. So good.
Well, that's going to do it for this episode of the Apocalypse Video Trekcast, everyone. Live long and prosper.
Delete Program 9.
Yeah, delete Program 9.
Computer, delete Program 9.
That's nice. But I'm in the mood for some place a little more unusual. Computer, run Barclay Program 15.
I am the goddess of empathy. Cast off your inhibitions and embrace love, truth, joy.